for 60 days. At the end of 60 days, or maybe even during 60 days, I'll extend it or not, and I'll maybe change it. I might modify it.
We now know much more about Donald Trump's immigration ban. It's Friday, April 24th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. You are part of this program, so join us on any of our VOA Asia social media platforms. Also coming your way, the top U.S. diplomat has some harsh words for Beijing. Coronavirus lockdowns around the world have led to much cleaner air. And we'll tell you about a hot-selling dessert in the shape of what many people are missing. That and much more on today's VOA Asia. U.S. President Donald Trump signed an executive order Wednesday suspending for 60 days the issuance of permanent residency status, also known as green cards. He described it as an effort to protect American workers' jobs during the coronavirus pandemic. While Trump said the order is powerful, as White House correspondent Patty Wadakaswara reports, the action contains a wide series of exceptions and may only affect a small number of people.
More details have emerged on President Donald Trump's plan to enact a 60-day suspension effective April 24th for those seeking permanent residency, also known as a green card.
We want Americans to have the jobs. We want Americans to have the health care. We want to take care of our citizens first. We have to. It's a very powerful order. It's for 60 days. At the end of 60 days, or maybe even during 60 days, I'll extend it or not, and I'll maybe change it. I might modify it.
The executive order affects certain categories of green card applicants who are outside of the U.S. and does not apply to individuals already in the country seeking to adjust their immigration status. Exceptions include spouses and children of Americans, military families, wealthy investors or EB-5 category, and current green card holders outside of the country, as well as temporary guest workers, such as those who work seasonally on farms. In effect, the ban would only pertain to a small group of people, despite Trump describing it as powerful.
It's powerful in that it is new. However, I would describe it as rather narrow and temporary. So you're talking in the 300,000 number of people or even less that this would apply to.
There is also an exception for healthcare professionals entering to combat the pandemic and their families. Trump signed the order Wednesday afternoon, but has tweeted about it since Monday. The broad language in the tweet about suspending immigration came as a surprise and ignited confusion. Immigration attorney Hassan Ahmad.
Almost immediately, the phone calls and the emails and the text messages started coming in from clients all across the board, people that were, you know, mid-process, applying for green cards inside the United States, people stuck still outside the United States, people who were waiting for their interviews, and today, people who are actually already have their green cards filing for citizenship. Even they're wondering whether this is going to affect them.
It's unclear how much impact this order would have on the ground, since much of the U.S. immigration system already has stopped due to the pandemic, with almost all visa processing indefinitely suspended for weeks. Patsy Wadakaswara, VOA News at the White House.
These are among the top Asia stories trending on VOAnews.com. Japanese health officials say 48 crew members of an Italian cruise ship docked in the port city of Nagasaki have tested positive for the novel coronavirus, including 14 cases confirmed on Thursday. The United States is accusing China of taking advantage of the COVID-19 outbreak and increasing its military activities near Taiwan and in the South China Sea. An appeals court in Vietnam has upheld a lower court decision to sentence a music teacher to 11 years in prison for criticizing the government on Facebook. Analysts are predicting that China's recent high-profile posturing over Hong Kong signals a bumpy political future for the semi-autonomous city and the likely return of mass protest. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the VOAnews.com website. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says WHO officials are still not publicly calling out China for failing to share information about the origins of the coronavirus. The top U.S. diplomat is defending President Donald Trump's decision to pause U.S. funding to the World Health Organization for 60 to 90 days. Global health experts have criticized Trump's move, saying the organization's work is more vital than ever. VOA's diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain has the story.
As the coronavirus continues to take a toll on people around the world, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is blasting China's ruling Communist Party, the CCP, for withholding information on the deadly virus and criticizing the World Health Organization for failing to call out Beijing.
Even after the CCP did notify the WHO of the coronavirus outbreak, China didn't share all of the information it had. Instead, it covered up how dangerous the disease is. It didn't report sustained human-to-human transmission for a month until it was in every province inside of China. It censored those who tried to warn the world. It ordered a halt to testing of new samples, and it destroyed existing samples.
The U.S. is the largest single donor to the WHO. But global health experts say now is not the time to withhold funds to the organization.
Personally, I cannot think of anything more bizarre and more harmful than freezing funding to the World Health Organization during this pandemic. It does not make any sense whatsoever.
Yamey pointed out that the WHO has been providing scientific guidance to nations across the world, as well as distributing COVID-19 testing kits and protective equipment. Secretary Pompeo says the U.S. is leading the global fight against the virus, providing $775 million to 100 countries.
The United States is the most generous nation on the planet, has been for the past 3 years, will continue to be this year.
The World Health Organization denies it has been too lenient on China and says now is not the time to cut off funding. Cindy Sain, VOA News.
As the coronavirus pandemic raises the specter of hunger in India for tens of thousands who have lost livelihoods, communities are cooking tens of thousands of meals for those in need. The efforts range from small to big ones. Anjana Pasricha looks at some initiatives in Gurugram, a business hub near the capital of Delhi.
Inside a kitchen in a housing complex in Gurugram, cooks mash potatoes, season vegetables, and make bread to prepare about 100 meals every day for families whose money has run out. The rations are bought with contributions from residents for whom this kitchen usually makes food. The cooks make sure it is a satisfying meal.
We make spicy food so that it is not bland, and those who eat it find it tasty.
At a commercial kitchen that usually caters Asian food, cooks are preparing hundreds of nutritious meals of rice and lentils for the hungry under another community initiative.
We see a lot of men who would have been working and they don't have any means, so they're standing there. We keep getting calls, urgent calls. So today we got a call with 14 day wagers who are stuck in the Nathupur DLFA 3 area. They haven't had food for 2 days.
Stories of tens of thousands of migrant labor stranded in cities without jobs and money after India imposed a stringent lockdown to contain the coronavirus prompted efforts ranging from modest to bigger ones. That includes restaurants. Although they remain shuttered, some have fired up their stoves.
Well, these people don't even have money to eat. They have no jobs. They have no way to feed their children. And I don't think, it can be worse of a situation for a human being than to be put into that kind of a scenario. So that really touched a chord.
His restaurants prepared about 5,000 meals a day.
Our job in the restaurant industry is to feed people. So this is what we do.
Generous contributions from friends and others has enabled Arjun Pandey to scale up from 200 meals to over 2,500 a day.
This became a true community initiative. And I think that's the biggest take back for me, or one of the reasons that sort of empowers me every day when I go out to distribute these meals, is the number of volunteers, is how society is standing together. All of us have united as one to fight this pandemic.
Such efforts to ensure that the poor don't go hungry may have to be sustained for long, as the struggle to find jobs will not end anytime soon amid a battered economy. Anjana Pasricha for VOA News, New Delhi.
Medical students from Georgetown University in Washington have launched a volunteer organization called Med Supply Drive to help doctors get very needed medical supplies during the coronavirus pandemic. The students collect as many face masks, gloves, disinfectants, and hand sanitizers as they can from tattoo parlors and labs to pass along to doctors who are working around the clock to save people. Licia Bacales reports on this story, narrated by Anna Rice.
Face masks, gloves, disinfectants, and hand sanitizers. Half a dozen medical students are helping in the fight against the coronavirus in their own way.
A couple of my classmates and I started Med Supply Drive. Our clinical rotations were delayed, and at the same time we were hearing this very intense need from emergency rooms and hospitals for PPE, personal protective gear. And so we started this initiative as six students at Georgetown, and now it's grown over to over 600 students in the country.
All members are still medical students, so while they can't physically help in the hospitals, they can round up and donate PPE equipment.
I didn't think that I'd be useful on the front line, but I could definitely supplement the front line, you know, this way.
Volunteers started with calling various places that they thought could still have some sort of PPE and disinfectants left. And since all university courses were being conducted online and students went back home for the time of the quarantine, they managed to conduct their volunteering work in 42 American states. Felicia Bacalets in Washington, NRIs, VOA News.
Developing at this hour in Asia, North Korean state media has made no further mention of leader Kim Jong-un's health or his whereabouts. That a day after intense international speculation over his health. It was sparked by media reports he was gravely ill after a cardiovascular procedure. VOA Asia keeps you informed all day on Twitter and Facebook at VOA Asia. Sudden scarcity of one of life's most humble but necessary household supplies, toilet paper, has breathed life into a Finnish bakery that was facing closure due to the threat of COVID-19. This facility in Helsinki has been repurposed to create cakes made in the shape of toilet paper rolls, which has been an instant hit, putting a smile on her customers' faces and keeping her staff employed. VOA's Julie Tabo has more on that.
The owner of a bakery in Helsinki, Finland, has found a way to save her store from financial ruin due to COVID-19 by creating cakes that look like rolls of toilet paper.
For us, it's a game changer, and I'm relieved because I know that all my employees are safe for months now.
Staff say that as the coronavirus spread, customers started canceling orders as panicked consumers began to hoard toilet paper. This sparked the idea of a toilet roll cake.
Real toilet paper ran out of stock in stores, and one of our bakers said, "Wouldn't it be nice to have a toilet paper cake on our counter?" She suggested making a larger version than the real thing that could be cut in smaller pieces for the customer.
So they made five cakes, which sold out within a few hours.
They started to take photos of the cakes and upload them to Instagram and Facebook.
And became an instant hit on social media. The cake's core is made out of oat batter, surrounded with passion fruit mousse filling, and covered with white fondant. The bakery now has hundreds of orders, and extra people have been hired to keep up with demand.
My husband is having birthday tomorrow, and I thought this is perfect cake for him.
Everyone is so interested in this cake, and it has somehow become the picture of the crisis. It's so nice.
Novelties such as specialty cakes are reminders that a little levity in times of crisis go a long way to helping people cope during difficult times. Julie Tabo, VOA News.
Thank you for joining us. Thanks to our managing director, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Jim Stevenson. I'm Ira Melman. Enjoy your day.